Hello, America, and to our friends around the world that are dwindling by the moment. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're going to be joined in just a moment by John B. Wells. Yeah, that the John B. Wells. But first, gotta let you know we're coming from the Noble Gold Studios. And with the financial instability that's invaded this country because of some what I think are reckless actions, your 401k is at risk, your IRA is at risk, and the banks hold all the cards. They get in trouble, they can keep everything. Dodd-Frank 2010, UCC Section 8. Noble Gold can bail you out of all of this. So I won't go into detail, but I have been a customer for 9 years and I feel protected. You can too. All you got to do is call them. No pressure. They'll just answer all your questions and tell you what they can do for you. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. 5347. Well, I know our guest needs no introduction. He's got one of the most recognizable voices, if not the most, in American broadcasting. He's hosted Coast to Coast. He has Caravan to Midnight now, which is, if it's not the biggest show in America, it's certainly right there in the top two or three. Millions of people listen to John and his guests every night. His guests are fantastic. And we're also, if you've not been clued in to where to go for Caravan to Midnight, we'll do that before we close. But John and I are going to start off talking about what everyone else is talking about, the war. I wanted to get his perspective because he touches the heart and soul of a lot of military leaders, people who've been in those command positions in the past. And I wanted to get his take on things so we regular people can do a reality check. John, welcome to the show. It's always great to have you on.
It's great to be back, Dave.
Well, anyway, can we get a little, just a tiny bit of boost on your volume?
I bet I can.
There
Let's
you
see
go.
here.
Whatever you just did there was good.
How's this?
That's perfect. Thank you.
All right.
Trump ran on the platform, and he can't control all variables. I get that. But he ran on the platform of no more optional wars, no more wars of occupation. And this one's pushing our economy over the edge. I mean, here in Arizona, we've gone up to and over $5 for a gallon of gas. What's your take on this latest venture? How do you see it?
Well, that's quite an expansive question. It really is. First of all, the economy was already in the toilet. We've been running on borrowed time for, not to mention borrowed money. And no one ever gets around to answering the question, to whom or what are these multiple dozens of trillions of dollars owed? So the economy was already in pretty bad shape. Let's see, astronomically high home prices, for example, commercial properties too. And the interesting thing is, now this is my signature shotgun out the back door way of answering your question. I bought a house in the late 80s. It was a pretty expensive house, but I was doing well, so what the heck. I haggled with him and got him down to 9.5%. Okay, well, that property was $645,000 in 1987,
That's
and it's about a
expensive.
million six now, but the
Yeah.
interest rate is four or five. So you see, it's the same amount of money made in interest. Double the price, half the interest rate, your 30-year mortgage is in place. See how this works?
Yes.
So the question is, where does the money come from? And when a nation runs up debt, again, to whom or what is that money owed? Now, to your question about Trump did this and Trump did that. This country, and I'm not going to speak for the rest of the West. I mean, even Mertz has finally gotten his head out into the sunlight, and he's decided to export a bunch of Syrians finally, because you can only do this liberal New World Order for just so long before it turns around and just bites your head off. And that's what's happened to Europe. So now back to Trump, because Trump is right in the middle of all of this. People say, "What do you like, Trump?" And I respond with, "Well, who do you like?" Would you rather have Biden or would you rather have Obama or maybe that dirtball Clinton? Would you rather have those people in there again? People are not only superstitious, but they create their own echo chambers. Whatever is the current echo, well, it pulls so many people into it. At least it appears that way. Now, if you talk to these people individually, you'll find that what is presented widely as their opinion, they being all of them who are paying attention to these most important issues about which most people know nothing. If you get them by themselves, they're pretty rational. You get them in a group and they start talking about, well, you know, he did this and he did that and he did the other. Well, I ask again, who would you rather have in there?
Yeah.
Which president in the last, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, would you rather have in there? So the deal with Iran is interesting because we only have access to a certain amount of verifiably true information. I mean, just an infinitesimal amount of truthful, actual intel. The rest of it is a bunch of chatter. So the word is, State of Israel says, you're going to come with us, Don, and blow these ragheads up, or do we go on our own? Do we think that 9/11, 2001, was as it was presented? Do we think October 7 was as it was presented? We remember Larry Silverstein, according to legend. I didn't see the paperwork. I don't know his insurance company or any of the agents there. Supposedly, he took out a big insurance policy just a couple of days before the towers came down.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Okay. Now he's bought the Union Bank building in L.A. Now people are going, oh, there's going to be another 9/11 this time in L.A. Well, maybe. I don't know.
I think that's a little bit of a leap, but I hear what you're saying. It's worth watching, certainly.
Well, David, let me put it this way. You cannot rely on anything that the mainstream media tells you. Not a thing, because all of the mainstream media is run by a group that I call the usual suspects. Now, riddle me this. We do not broadcast over the Salem network. We rent their studio and engineer, goes up on Westwood One, and then is dispersed to couple 300 radio stations around the country. Why would Salem Media have hired, I think his name is Parcelli.
Yes, exactly.
You know he's a registered foreign agent with the State of Israel?
I do.
Now, the big question is, WHY? Question mark. Why is a registered foreign agent with the Israeli government the chief strategy officer for Salem Media? If you look at who owns the publishing, if you look at who runs the banks, if you look at who runs Hollywood, who runs the record business, who do you come up with? Oh, that's anti-Semitism. Well, says you. Not you, Dave, but
who? No, I hear you. I'm getting the same accusations, John.
Well, David, the thing is, people don't bless them. And may they be healed with some actual intelligence meaning verified, undeniable information. Now let's just get rid of Semite anti-Semitism. Let's get rid of that. A Semite is someone who speaks one or more of about a dozen languages. Among them are Aramaic, Hebrew, and Arabic. People will say Jesus was a Jew. Wrong. He was of the tribe of Judah. Big difference. And so he spoke Aramaic, so that makes him a Semite. It does not make him a Jew. Now, I recommend that everyone in your audience take the time to go to a YouTube and type into the search bar, 1961 Benjamin Friedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N, not Friedman like the other spelling of Friedman. It's F-R-E-E-M-A-N. Willett Hotel. All you got to put in there is 1961 Benjamin Friedman. And listen to him. You will learn about Khazaria. You will learn about the ancient Rus. You will learn about the Persians and how the Rus and the ancient Persians went in and destroyed Khazaria, which happens to be located right around the place that we call Ukraine now. This is a, what people do not understand is they call it the news, but there is nothing new about any of this. Not at all. Old Solomon hit it right in the X-ring when he said, there is nothing new under the sun. He didn't go on to say different fashion sense. We got cars now instead of camels or whatever. But nothing has changed. Human nature has not changed.
That's true.
Human spontaneous superstitions has not changed. A politician can be, and I believe it was Machiavelli said that politicians are not born, they are excreted. He had a dim view of politicians. But I believe what he meant was that they're variable.
Yeah.
They can take a position now. But don't be surprised if they change that position later. Now, to your question, I knew we were going to talk about this, so I put together a little something here, just some notes. So if you see me looking at the screen, that's exactly what I'm doing. Iran's most likely path is to keep widening pressure indirectly rather than symmetrically, because they don't have the muscle for it right now.
That's right.
So that means more proxy or partner action through the Houthis, Hezbollah remnants, or aligned militias in Iraq and Syria and so forth. So that whole part of the world has been in turmoil since before 1948. Most people are not aware there was a war in 1947. And the United States would not provide any Mustang fighters, no
That's
armaments,
right.
No weapons, nothing. So they got them from a couple of ex-Waffen SS guys in Belgium, and they wound up flying the Czechoslovakian version of the Messerschmitt 109. Most people don't look into this. They're given just enough, and they, frankly, Dave, they don't feel like making a big study out of this, although they should. You know, leisure time is not goof-off time. Leisure time is the time that you take out to enrich yourself through some kind of learning. You know, reading, studying, writing, something. That's leisure time. Doesn't mean you're lying on the lounger with your one ankle crossed upon the other and having a cocktail. That's not leisure time in a strict definition. So let's bounce over to Confucius. He said, if I were to destroy a nation, I would first destroy its language. Well, look at all the slang going on out there. People don't really fully understand. They get the surface thought, but they don't get any depth from their conversations because, oh, those can be weighty and time-consuming, and they just don't feel like it. They move on to the next distraction. So the public, in my opinion, I mean, I can't take a reading on the entire public, but they are bombarded with myth and outright falsehood continuously. And I know this because I worked for one of the most reputable stations that ever existed, WFAA TV Channel 8 in Dallas, Texas. I was with them for 25 years. But they knew what happened at Waco. I went up into a room, the control room, because I was the voiceover guy. Did the news opens, promos, I mean, everything. All day, every day, you would hear me on that station. And it was a dignified station that was staffed and run by intelligent, dignified businessmen who were not weak. They knew how to hire and fire, and they were decisive, and it was a huge success until it was eventually sold, and the Belo family divested themselves of an AM station, radio station upstairs, and an FM station upstairs, and a TV station downstairs, and across the driveway was the Dallas Morning News. I mean, that was a powerhouse company, but even they. I walked into a room right after the Waco incident, and you couldn't get another person in the control room. That might be a little bit of a stretch, but there were a bunch of men there. Most of them were wearing suits. They weren't saying a thing. And I said, hey, and they go, hey, John. I said, well, that's really something. I said, how did you guys get so close to that kind of heavyset guy, the SWAT guy on the roof of the first floor, and he's pulling on the curtain and he sticks his MP5 into the window and gives it a little spray, and then some stuff comes through the wall and he slides down the ladder. You must have been using one hell of a lens to get in that close. not a peep. And I said, and you know, it said live right up there in the upper right, but I saw all these edits. How did that happen? You know what they said? Not a damn thing. So even they had to bend to the wishes of the establishment.
Yeah, that's classic. That's a classic story. I could repeat it many times over.
So many people bought it. They all bought it. You know what that was? It was coming through the wall. Those were grenade fragments. I dispersed. I made 50 copies and sent a copy of these VHS tapes to 50 parties across the country who do not know each other, right? Because what's on those tapes is the guy throwing a grenade in. The first SWAT guy goes into the window. This guy tosses a grenade in behind him. Then it goes off. That's what those fragments, because I saw that and I thought, what in the world kind of projectile is that coming through the wall? Those were grenade fragments. Then he sprays it with his MP5 and goes down the ladder. You know, he's out of here. And you see all these people shooting. All these cops down there just emptying their magazines, right? But you don't see any gunfire coming back. I didn't see any windshields get hit. I didn't see any little dirt spouts, you know, off the ground or any of that. So look, when you listen to mainstream media, you are listening to a machine, and it is run by people who have an overall agenda. Again, who owns the networks? Who owns the radio? Who owns the record business? Who owns the movie business? Who owns the publishing? The New York Times, the paper of record. Who owns that? There's an agenda here, and all you have to do to divine the agenda is read your Bible. And I don't mean some Schofield Bible. That's a fraud. I'm declaring it. The Schofield Bible is a fraud. And guess who commissioned its publication and creation? This is a spiritual war. We have spiritual enemies. They are in human form down here, but that's just the way it is. Now, I don't care if it's a snake or a little fluffy bunny over there. Poisonous snake or a little fluffy bunny. I don't care what it is. But depending on what it is, I'm going to handle it differently. The snake and the bunny have every right to exist. Obviously, because they are there, they exist. But again, I'll handle each one of them differently because they are not the same. We would like to think here in this educationally degraded country of ours that everybody's equal. It's not true. They're not. They want everybody to be equal. And I'll stop with this. Solzhenitsyn said, people come into the world with different capacities. If they're free, they are not equal. If they are equal, they are not free. So there's our baseline. Take it away.
I totally agree with you. In fact, I want to take this baseline in this direction. I'm going to make a couple of statements here and let you respond to it generally if you want to, or specifically. 94% of Congress and the Senate take AIPAC funds, the only unregistered foreign lobby group in America that was allowed to get away with that behavior. And then on top of that, last year we gave $8 billion to Israel for defense. I want a defensive ally in the Middle East, but it's our money, but it's on their terms. And our Congress looks like they're bought and paid for. And then when you look at the Trump administration as the third part of this triumvirate, you got Susie Wiles, who helped run Netanyahu's 2023 campaign. You got Jared Kushner, who is so far up his rear end here with AIPAC and Netanyahu. Trump is surrounded by an echo chamber right now. I don't think he's getting real information, but I look at these influences and they should all be illegal, John. I mean, we should not be allowing foreign lobbyists to give to our Congress. We shouldn't allow people dual citizenship to serve in Congress. And if we're going to give $8 billion to a nation for defense, it has to be on our terms. What do you think about those statements?
Well, it'd be pretty easy to just say, look, forget about it. You're on your own. Figure it out or disappear. Okay? But so much of the world is brainwashed into believing the propaganda that they've been given. Look, again, everybody who is walking around on planet Earth right now, Father God put them here or allowed them to be here, and they're not the same. So our lives are structured as far as the influences upon us. Everybody needs to eat at this fast food place. Everybody needs to bank here. Everybody needs to listen to this news story because we're providing you. Oh, I actually heard somebody say, it didn't last long, but they actually broadcast this. Only the news you need to know. And I thought,
that should be the moniker of all the mainstream media.
Yeah, you might want to rethink that slogan. It didn't last but a couple of days. Somebody said, I don't think that's a good idea to say only the news you need to know. That means, well, so they got rid of it. But that is, in fact, what's happening.
Well, that's like the New York Times, you know, all the news that's fit to print. Well, who decides what's fit? So it's the same thing.
And who said they're the paper of record? I mean, yes. It just goes on and on. There's been so much fraud. Look at COVID. You go and take a look at all of the people who were involved in the COVID massacre.
I know.
And the usual suspects, starting with Borla, and then there's Walensky at the CDC. And what kind of an insult, David, was that to put out this zombie apocalypse?
I agree. 101? I know. I could not agree with you more. But it's everything. I mean, here, I'm going to give you another parallel here. Okay, Iraq, Scott Ritter. Thank God for Scott Ritter. But, you know, we're looking for weapons of mass destruction. I'm sitting at a Phoenix Suns basketball game with my wife. And at the end of the first quarter, on the Jumbotron, they come on and it's Bush. And they interrupt the game to say, our greatest fear is a nuclear weapon going off in an American city. And Scott Ritter will tell you, hey, I looked for it for 8 years. There was no weapon of mass destruction. But we're saying the same bullcrap again.
It's never going to stop. But look how orchestrated it is and who is orchestrating it. Now, you either believe in Father God, his son, Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil, or you don't. If you don't, okay, go on your own. Figure it out. But if you read the Bible, and I recommend the Faithful Version, you can get it at afaithfulversion.org. All the original books in the original order, translated from the Greek and the Latin, it's absolutely authentic. But stuff like the Wycliffe and the Schofield and all of these. And, I mean, why do we have so many different versions? We've got the English Standard, the New English Standard, you know, the New King James Version, blah, blah, blah. If you want it, get the original books in the original order. Okay.
I couldn't agree with you more. I just look at this whole situation, and you're right about it being a spiritual war. I think that, and I'll default to this because I've said this many times, the big debate in eschatology right now is Genesis 6, verse 4. And unfortunately, my church dealt with it when they covered the book of Genesis by not dealing with it. Fallen angels, intermarried with earth women, the Nephilim is what they called them. So obviously there were offspring produced. And then the phrase at the end of verse 4, and they were there afterward. After what? Well, the next part is about the flood. In other words, I think, John, the DNA of the fallen angels survived. And I think this is what we're battling against.
Well, you know, and it's beginning to look more and more like, David, I'm not the oracle, and I'm not trying to hold myself out as the oracle. But I have been looking into these things for quite a long time, and I'm a keen collector of really, really old books. I don't think it's open anymore, but there was one in New Orleans that yielded a couple of really, really good things. But the deeper I look into this, it appears that... And I was in the first grade. I said, it looks to me like all those continents might have fit together in some way back in the back a long time ago. Oh, you're an idiot. Shut up. Tommy, what did you want to say? Well, it appears that they did. And then a few years go by, and, oh, these stone tablets are discovered in the Ohio Valley. Now, the word was it was an Indian burial mound. Well, it wasn't an Indian burial mound. It was just a burial mound, but it wasn't a Native American burial mound. Oh, there were stone tablets there, and they couldn't understand what they said. Oh, we're looking at them upside down. Okay. They're in Hebrew. Well, it turns out, I mean, that was just a stupid story. They couldn't figure it out because they were looking at them upside down. It's like, what? So it appears that this part of the world, these 48 contiguous states primarily, are in fact what comprise the old Holy Land.
Hmm.
That's what it looks like. Because we simply don't know. Was it 2,000 years ago? Was it 10,000 years ago? What happened over the course of those 2,000 years? Now, there's been a big focus on Tartaria, or Tartaria, if you prefer. Okay. Well, who did build all those structures? And what happened to them? Now, people will say, and some of the big cities, all these fires that burst out all over North America, in fact, all over the world, but particularly in North America during the 1800s, late 1800s, they just burst out all over the place. So much more is unknown than is known. That's an easy one. But the thing is, over time, this one particular group is far more devoted, and they embrace their beliefs much more closely than most Christians. They really do.
What group are you talking about that embraces their beliefs?
I'm talking about people who identify themselves as Jewish.
I agree. Very dedicated.
But here's the thing. I mean, do you find that they got the hairdo and they got the hats and the suits and they rock back and forth reading and all this stuff? I mean, okay. I don't know why they're doing that, but okay. They do what they do. Now, that said, the Jewish girls that I've known over the course of my life were really sweet. I've been out with a few Jewish girls. They were as sweet as could be. They really were. The guys, on the other hand, were hardcore wheeler dealers, and they would screw you over in a minute. I never saw it to fail. They would even if they weren't screwing you over, they would screw over somebody that was friends with you. And that of course, would splash up on me, and I'm like, hey, you paddle your own canoe. If you decide to do business with this person, well, that's on you. That's not on me. So here's the thing. Who are we loyal to? I mean, so many people are still on the fence as to whether or not Lord Jesus even existed. They think it's some sort of a fairy tale or a myth. Now, today is Passover, according to the Christian calendar. But it's called April Fool's Day because we did not embrace the Gregorian calendar.
Hmm.
Most people don't know that either.
Interesting.
How would they know it? If they haven't been taught it, how can they know it? If nobody's ever even brought it up to them, why would they know it? Well, they wouldn't. So it's not a condemnation. I'm just saying, if you want to find out what's happening, you're going to have to study harder, whether you want to or not. And the other part is, remember what old Solomon said. And Solomon was a terrible person, you know. He really was. But he was the wisest man in the world. He asked God to make him the wisest man in the world. He did. And what did he wind up saying? With much knowledge, there is much sadness. Oh, yeah. Because there's nothing we can do about the human condition on this planet. We can cling to our families, our loved ones, and we can go to the beach and just stay out of it. But as far as the control mechanisms of the world, these things are far above our pay grade. The only way to raise our pay grade is through prayer. And I am not some born again kind of guy, but when your life is saved over and over and over again, and you are rescued from what appeared to be absolutely this is it, this is the end of the line, well, that indicated to me that maybe Father God was trying to get my attention, and he did. There wasn't any peyote involved or anything of the sort. All it took was a motorcycle crash at 70, count them, 70 miles an hour at about 10:30 in the morning on a Friday in Dallas, Texas on Interstate 30, and I called out the name Jesus. And the person who was following me said, I didn't see you hit the ground, but I saw the bike go to the right, and I saw you roll to the left. And she said, it was textbook. You were just rolling like a log, and then you got to the edge, a real narrow bit of shoulder in the fast lane. You got up on your knees, went back against the wall, took your helmet off, ran your fingers through your hair. I said, yeah, I'll bet. That was really kind of a shock. She goes, but it was weird, because it seemed like control just descended upon everything. Nobody blew their horns. Nobody slammed on the brakes. Nothing. I mean, I'm talking 10:30 in the morning in Dallas, traffic on Interstate 30 heading into town. It's dense, and they were moving pretty fast. And she said, when I saw you roll in front of the pickup truck and it went on by, I figured you'd be okay. And I asked her, what kind of truck was it? She goes, oh, it was a black Chevy. Hand of God, Dave, that's what I saw in my mind's eye. I knew this thing was going to run over me, but it didn't. Everything just slowed down. Young man in a fire department pickup truck, yellow rack, dark blue. He's there already in traffic. About 10 minutes later, the cops and the ambulance are there. About 10 minutes after that, I'm down at Baylor Hospital, and an hour and 10 minutes later, I walked out with a boot on my foot and a crutch under my arm and prescription for some pain pills that didn't do anything. I was wearing this watch. It's one of my favorite watches. It's just a simple Pilot's watch. The impact was so hard, it actually bent the hands. They had to replace the hands. And it was zipped down on this really heavy goatskin Langlitz jacket. Well, that was the beginning of my epiphany, and it has continued to roll ever since. Now, I will say this and no more, because I don't want to bore your audience, let alone you. But I am sort of the Lord's blunt instrument. You know, I just call it as I see it, and I'm prepared to, you remember the old saying, every man's got a right to speak his mind, and every other man has a right to knock him down for it. Okay, I accept that. But at some point, it becomes undeniable that these things that are going on in our world are planned by somebody or something, and it is not to the benefit of people. The people are ground up like beef when you're making ground beef for hamburgers. Started off a really nice steak. Well, now it's hamburger. You can make a sandwich. You can do whatever you want with it. Put it in a, make a stew, do something. But it's not in its original form. And right now, I think we are reaching that point where something's going to snap. Now, look at this thing lately. Now, today, the rage is UFO disclosure. Last night, this little gal, I think we've spoken to her on Caravan to Midnight before, calls herself Erin Elizabeth. And I think she's Mercola. She works with Joseph Mercola, maybe. I think I'm right about that.
Yeah, I got to have you turn up your sound a little bit. You're starting to fade.
I'm starting to fade. Oh, not that. Don't let me fade away. How's that?
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
I was saying Erin Elizabeth is what she calls herself. And I think I want to say she works with Mercola, Joseph Mercola. Last night, I saw this video she had produced about how jets out of Israel are going to fly over the United States and spray out toxic chemicals. So listen, folks, one more thing, Dave. A longtime acquaintance of mine made an ad for his insurance company, and a print ad. He made it with AI. Oh, John B. Wells will be all over this, you know, and we can change the world. We can save the country. I said, okay. I mean, he's got a black kid in the middle. He's got, you know, a white guy and a white girl on the other side. It's like, okay. But my position was, what happens when everything you see is generated by artificial intelligence? The answer is nothing more than what's happening now, because it'll become a standard and people will accept that. That's a pretty well done AI ad. Now, am I going to buy the product because the ad is done so well by AI? Probably not. But here's the thing. Everything is illusion and artificial. That is what is wanted, to the point that people have no concept of what truth or reality actually is. That may be quite a stretch for some people, but when you're confronted with artificial everything and even artificial intelligence controlling this, which is getting smarter and smarter and smarter, and data center after data center is being built, and your electricity bill is going up and blah, blah, blah. Well, logically, where do we think we are headed with this? Over to you.
I think we're headed for a problem. And I've often wondered as a Christian, is AI going to play a big role in the great deception that's spoken about in the Bible? What's your feeling on that?
How could it not? Because it's interesting when you play around with these little things, you can manipulate it just a little bit and it'll adjust its attitude. Well, to me, this is interesting, but it is also potentially disconcerting, shall we say, because people will not know what is authentic, what is true, what is truth. There's an old expression. I don't know who came up with it. Maybe I did. I don't know. The truth isn't what you say. It's how many people you can say it to. because there's going to be a measurable percentage of those people who are going to buy it in most cases. Mm-hmm. You may have a naysayer here or there, but if it sounds good and if it looks good, most people are going to go along with it. I'm not sure that's answering. This is answering any of your questions. I think we started.
Well, it is, because AI creates the reality, and then you have mass indoctrination. So I think it does answer that question. You know, I'm tying together two things in my mind, and I got to tell you, I think we need to be careful not to think we have the answers that'll set off the end times and the tribulation. But I look at AI as part of the great deception, but I'm also looking at the UFO possibility. And here's why. It used to be if you saw a UFO, you were nuts and you should go lay down until you feel better. Now we have congressional hearings about it, and it's being embellished, and it's in the media, and the media no longer gives the derision that it used to. And I'm just wondering, you have AI, and then you have AI participation and a fake alien invasion that fools us to get world government, and then you're on. And I'm just saying, that's just a hypothesis. But I see a shift in the way we're being conditioned to perceive things. And so I try to go and say, what's the logical conclusion?
Yeah. Well, that's what you have to do, because we're in the world. We should remember that we are not of the world. We are simply in the world. And as far as the end of days or the last day is concerned, Lord Jesus himself said, Father's the only one that knows that. I don't know. It'll happen at some point. He's the one who knows. I don't.
I bring it up, though, because I think we need to be on our guard, because, you know, in the Bible, it says, you know, in the end days, even the elect will be deceived. And it's almost like the Bible says that they want to be deceived. They want to believe what they're being presented. And I also am reminded of William Casey, the former CIA director. He said, we know we've been successful when everything the people see is a lie.
Yeah, everything the American people believe is false.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to find out where you stand, now here's something else, and let's get past this this state of Israel thing. We know what's happening to the people in Gaza. We don't hear much about it lately because, well, the Iranian conflict has sort of superseded that for the moment.
It has.
But I keep hearing about our Judeo-Christian values. Well, which Judeo value would you like to start with? Crucifixion of Lord Jesus, maybe? Should we start there? Pontius Pilate said, I don't find anything wrong with this man at all. But he didn't want any static out of Rome, so he went, go ahead. Well, he eventually quit and went into exile because he knew a couple of things. One is that this man was the real thing. And unfortunately, I played a part in what happened to him. I saw this preacher the other day. He was so funny. He goes, they kill their own prophets. They kill the Messiah. He's reading from Scripture, and he goes, I think it was Thessalonians, he goes, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Oh, why is everybody getting us always so mad about the Jews? Because they're contrary to all men. So here's the thing. This whole Judeo-Christian value thing is rubbish. And this, let's see, what's the other one? The Christian Zionism. Anybody out there know who Theodore Herzl is? The first Zionist Congress, 1897. He only lived to be 41 years old. That's probably a good thing. No telling how much more damage he could have done. So there's the Torah, first five books of the Bible, but which version? And there's the Talmud. I don't know how many people in the audience have an 18-volume plus the study book of the Sansino Talmud. I've got it in a shelf of books reserved for things having to do with witchcraft or sorcery or, you know, magus this or magus that. They're over there in that case with the Talmud, isolated from the rest of the books. Why do you have them at all? What? It's because I want to know what they're writing in it. This Talmud goes back a long time. I would also like to know why people cling to this concept of the Star of David. I challenge anybody to find any mention of David having a star in any version of the Bible. And come to think of it, why does the Pope have little so-called stars of David on his Pope suit?
I didn't know that.
He does. So, I'm sure he's got more than one suit, right? But the one that I saw was a photograph. It wasn't AI generated. And there was on the sleeve, you could tell. I mean, the folds in the cloth were correct. AI is easy to detect if you know what you're looking for. It's getting better. It'll be undetectable in another year or two. But right now, you can detect it. So, I mean, in the words of Eddie Temple from Layer Cake, we've been rolled over and white-grafted like a bunch of stupid Yanks buying London Bridge. We screwed up. Or let's bounce over to John Belushi in Animal House. You bleeped up. You trusted us. Yeah, we did. We're the news you trust. We're your trusted source of news. And then, of course, there's the pharmaceutical industry. I know I'm all over the place here, but it all goes down the same road. And it really goes to the Iranian-Israeli conflict now, too, that's trying to pull as much of our resources and expend as much of our blood and treasure as possible. But how about this? Talk to your doctor. Ask your doctor. Trust your doctor. Well, how much do you trust your doctor now when you see all these stiffs lying around for being suckered into this COVID-19 vaccine?
I hear you. But, John, here's the deal. Trust your doctor, but at the end of every commercial, they read off symptoms that I would be saying no one should touch this medicine. You know, cause one arm to be longer than the other and can end in death. I mean, okay, I'm done. I don't want that. They're all like that. And you know who's interesting? The woman who is the chief of staff to Trump, Susie Wiles, used to coordinate big pharma advertising in collusion with Congress.
Yeah, see, all of these various fish, it's like an aquarium with a whole bunch of different fish. Some of them are speckled and some of them are striped and some of them are solid color. And there's a goldfish over there and a little catfish down there and a suckerfish over there. But they're all in the same tank. And frankly, I mean, when I learned about how if you'll vote for legislation that's favorable to the state of Israel, you know, I'll make a donation right here on the spot. Here, you got a QR code scanner? Hold your phone up. Boom. Wow, 400 grand. Thanks. Yeah, you can count on me. There is no sanctuary. It's only in your heart and your mind where the Lord dwelleth, if you will.
I agree with these external threats, John, but I'm going to tell you this too. I don't want to remove individual responsibility. And here's what I'm talking about. There's an old saying, we've met the enemy and he is us. Okay, why is Eric Swalwell still in Congress when he knowingly gave information to a honeypot Chinese spy? Okay, and then you know, you got the Eric and Kirk situation that just gets bigger by the day, and we just think she's wonderful, and yet she betrayed her own husband. I look at this, and I'm just saying we're responsible for what we believe, and I'll just give you a couple things here. One, No nation in their right mind would ever allow a dual citizen to make their laws, because the Bible says if you have two masters, you'll hate one and love the other. And then the other thing is we have unlimited term limits. So the longer in office, the more target they are for bribery, like what we're seeing. And I could just go on and on down this path, but we continue to not do things that are in our best interest. I mean, we bring gang members here to this country. I'm not talking immigrants. I'm talking gang members that make their living by hurting and stealing. And yet we're just fine with that. I just had lunch with a friend of mine from Panama, and she lives in a northern city in Panama. And she told me, she said, yeah, outside the Western Union office in our town, we had hundreds of people lining up every day. And she went and talked to some of them. And she said, what are you doing in line here? Oh, we're getting money. Who are you getting money from? America?
Yeah. Well, my position is this. Get out. I don't give a damn about your better life. You figure it out. Go back to your own country. We're entitled to have our country. The United States of America is not a free-for-all for every non-hacker or opportunist who feels like coming over here because they can't hack in their own country. I don't care. You know, I've been up, I've been down. I've been pretty well off. And I've been broke as hell over the course of years. And it's up to me to either sustain myself or to go broke. That's it. Get out. You're not here legally. I repeat, get out. And these Democrats, as far as I'm concerned, you can't lump all Democrats in the same basket. Yeah, I can. Because as far as I'm concerned, anybody, well, I don't really support all their policies. Well, then why do you identify as a Democrat? You condone it. By being a member of that party, you condone it. They're the party of communism. They're the party of abortion. They're the party of open borders. They're the party of taking the Second Amendment away from people. They are anti-freedom of speech. They are anti-Fourth Amendment. They're poison. And I'll tell you what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. Most people do not know about the Bolshevik Revolution. Bolshe is Russian for big, or most, or a lot. Vik is person or people. Bolshevik, majority party, is what it'll filter down to. Most people, biggest number of people is implied. Democracy. Our democracy, it's a threat to our democracy. We don't have a democracy. We have a constitutionally protected republic. But these dumbasses continue to refer to it as our democracy. I repeat, it's not a democracy. And here's something else Solzhenitsyn said. He spent, 60 years on some gulag iceberg?
Yeah, well...
Dave, I know we're going to run out of time here pretty quick, but I want to tell you a couple of points that may be useful to you and your audience.
Okay.
Solzhenitsyn said, he wrote the book, The Gulag Archipelago. He said, we cannot say that all Bolsheviks were Jews, but we can say that without Jews, there would have been no Bolshevism. Right. Number two. We were in World War I. Oh, that's ancient history. Yeah, well, the effects of it are still rippling through our culture today. We were in there for 1 year, from 1917 to 1918. Who shifted out when we shifted in? The Russians. What was happening in 1917? I know, the Bolshevik Revolution. They murdered Tsar Nicholas, but not before they had bayoneted his daughters and murdered them in front of him. And his favorite daughter, they stuck her right in the chest, right in front of him, killed her right there on the spot. That's your Bolshevik. That is what these people do. And I've got one more for you, as long as I'm, taking fire on my own vessel by, throwing the finger out to the opposing Navy. If you've got 6 million people and they weigh 100 pounds, well, that's 600 million pounds. If you divide that by 2,000, it's 300,000 tons. How are you going to get rid of 300,000 tons of human meat and bone? How are you going to do that? Well, you can't do it. Not unless you've got a coke mine right over there where you can get unlimited fuel. I look through a series of newspaper headlines. The earliest one was December the 2nd, 1914. 6 million Jews worried about the outbreak of war in Europe. A couple of years later, 6 million Jews on the verge of starvation. A couple of years later, 6 million Jews going to have to make a long road trip. I don't remember the exact headline, but it was New York Times, it was Montreal Gazette. The term, that number, 6 million, was used, if I remember correctly, 8 times over 11 years and years before 1939, when the war actually broke out. And I say again, the first one was December the 2nd, 1914.
It is interesting.
Just saying.
Yeah, the one thing I want to respond to what you said about democracy and the Democratic Party real quick. One thing I would add is they took God out of the party platform several years ago. That tells me everything you need to know about them. And they talk about democracy, but listen, they're accurate and they mean it, John. A democracy is not what we're talking about with protected liberties in a constitutional republic. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding who's for dinner. And this is the Democratic Party. They're godless. They're evil. I mean, what society, this is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, cuts the genitals off 8-year-old kids? What society does that that's sane?
Well, it just so happens that the first transgender surgeries was formed in Germany in the 20s. And guess what religious orientation the doctor was? Yeah. Hitler burned the books. No, he burned filth books. He didn't burn Shakespeare. You know, he didn't burn Nietzsche. He didn't burn those books. He burned pornographic books, suggestive books. I mean, look what this bunch has done to our country. Look what they're doing to our children.
Listen, they control the textbooks. I agree. It's unwarranted influence. And John, I got to tell you, I get accused now of being anti-Semitic. When I was a young history teacher, I used to have Holocaust survivors that had the tattoos come to my history class when I was in my 20s. Okay. And my family on my dad's side, refugees from Germany, we have Jewish people in our family line. The bottom line is, I get called anti-Semitic because I said, I don't want this nation telling my nation what to do, but it's even bigger than that. And when I come on your show tonight, I want to talk about the fact that there's a first covenant and a second covenant. And America, you have a right to your second covenant, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what's trying to be taken away from us. I'm going to make that point tonight.
Well, my whole deal is just this. It makes no difference to me how a person believes. And I don't just sit around thinking about how much I don't like this group or that group or the other group.
Right.
But I do know that somebody, I don't remember, you know, Oscar Wilde said, quotation's a suitable substitute for wit, serviceable substitute for wit. But somebody whose name you'd recognize said, you know, there are many religions in the world, but you will do no better than Jesus Christ. And I believe that that is true. And it has held civilization together for a long time. But people will grab little bits of information here and there and say, see what those horrible Christians did? It's like, you need the backstory before that. I'm not saying that everyone that identifies as a Christian is lily white. I'm not saying I'm lily white or anything of the sort. It was a terrible sinner, you know? I mean, really, because that was the way things were during the era when I grew up. But, you know, when I was a child, I did dumbass childish things. When I became a man, I put away childish things and decided to go the other way and be a man and not conduct myself like a child. So I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm not trying to shut anybody down. Like I said, the bunny and the cobra over there in the corner, they both have a right to exist. You know, what would the world be without bunnies? What would the world be without cobras? I'm sure they have a use somewhere.
I hear you, but
we're in the world together. So we fight with each other or we figure it out, you know?
And not. I believe there's one true beacon, and that's and I'm uncompromising on that fact. And listen, I don't care what someone wants to believe. That's their right. As long as their rights stop at where my nose begins. And so I'm not judgmental in that fashion. So by that definition, I cannot be anti-Semitic. But the reality is this, is that I am God, family, country in that order. And this is what's being taken away from us by this foreign administration. Totally. We're being colonized, John.
Always remember, the Lord Jesus spoke Aramaic, which makes him a Semite. So how can you love Jesus and be anti-Semitic? It's just stupid.
Oh, I know. In other words, we play games with words to manipulate people, and this is what we're seeing now. They want to shame you into silence. You know, I don't like Netanyahu's policy. Oh, you're anti-Semitic. I'm talking about a foreign leader. Doesn't matter. You're anti-Semitic. The Bible says you got to obey him. I mean, this is the crap I'm hearing now. And it's just a perversion of the religion. John, what I want to do before we close, though, and we're just about out of time, is tell people how they can find your great show, when and where.
Well, you can, I said as recently as last night, we had a guy come on from, he was actually from right on the border of Georgia, and his phone signal was totally clean. I always tell people, if I suddenly drop off the scope, come to caravantomidnight.com and you will find me. That's what I said many times when I was on Coast to Coast AM. But the other part is that we stream on YouTube, and we make kind of a big deal of it. There's a good bit of music, and then I'll do a video prologue for about a half an hour, and then we'll run the two-hour program, then run the prologue again, then some more music. But you can always hear us on Talk Stream Live.